Hello and welcome back to another episode of Voices from the Attic. This time it's very, very different. I am sitting here, well, normally I'm sitting on this chair and recording, but you can now see me doing a live video at the same time. So I thought I would do, obviously, the podcast. So this is going to be on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere that does podcasts and stuff like that. But now you can see me talking at the same time while I go through what the subject is and topic is. So everyone on YouTube has the opportunity to watch the kind of live video while it's being recorded, while the podcast is also being recorded, if that makes sense. So hello, welcome. So being as which this is the first time I'm kind of doing this, there's going to be a few hiccups and stuff like that. It's very, very normal. But today's topic is energy vampires. Now, I haven't actually done an episode on vampires before, and that is for a future episode, but I have done an episode on empaths. Now, empaths, what was discussed in that episode is empaths are people that kind of, they have all the surroundings around them, emotions, houses. Basically, an empath is someone that is very, very sensitive to the world around them, sensitive to vibrations, sensitive to people and things, and they kind of like imagine a sponge. They kind of like soak up the sponge and everything that you know is there and stuff. For instance, say they walk into a room, they don't know there's been an argument, and they walk into a room and then suddenly they kind of feel very, very angry, or without knowing, they kind of start having the sense of those emotions and stuff like that. And then that's kind of what they carry on people's emotions. They carry on their own emotions very much so, and they feel them very, very strongly. If anyone does want me to go into another kind of episode that is more in depth with empaths, although I will be mentioning them a lot in this situation, so this can kind of be tied in with the energy vampires, so don't worry about what I just said, this is fine. Before you do continue though, please do subscribe to this channel. We're almost at 1k followers. I want to get up to 1k. It was before the big YouTube death that happened. Also, when I'm not here, I'm at twitch.tv Wolfie Law, or Twitter Wolfie Law, or this podcast is Twitter Voices from the Attic. And then I also rebranded as well. I rebranded the picture. It looks really nice, retro-y, kind of like static in an attic and stuff. Hey, that rhyme, that's kind of cool. You get to see kind of what I'm like with no takes as well. So this is kind of, and episodes from now on are going to be kind of edited, maybe edited less. So it's just words coming out my mouth that are somehow going to make something happen. Anyway, right. So I also have my phone here as well. If I need to read up any research and stuff, I can look at it and be like, oh, this is what it actually means. So I want to start with the definition of an energy vampire. Now, energy vampires are, they are basically the opposites of empaths. So in a sense, not fully, it's not black and white like that. So an empath is obviously someone that feels all the emotions around them, whereas an energy vampire is someone that comes into a room and they can do this. Like, a lot of people don't know they're energy vampires because they don't realize they're consciously doing it. But what it is, basically, they go into a room and they start to drain the energy from a person, drain the energy from a situation, and the person that they're draining the energy from begins to feel very tired, very sad, very down and stuff. And the thing is, I think like an energy vampire is still kind of an empath in a sense, because they can read the emotions of everyone else in a room and stuff. They can read people very well. They're very good at reading the nature of humans and how people work and suffering and stuff like that. And in that sense, they can kind of play upon that and kind of bring that inward on themselves. Like, okay, so say we go into a room and stuff and there is like some person sitting there and they're very like, oh my god, this is amazing, and they've got loads of energy and stuff. They're gonna start kind of just being around them and stuff. They're gonna start making the situation or making that person that has the energy feel a lot lower as who they are and stuff. They're gonna maybe, not take accountability, for things. So if there's a situation where there is a person around an empath or someone in general that's just high energy, in arguments and stuff, they'll never say, I'm sorry, never apologize. They will never say, this is my fault, or I kind of messed up here. That will never be said in the situation that they're in. It also says here they'll come across very, very charismatic. So energy vampires are very closely tied into narcissists. Narcissists and energy vampires kind of go in the same category. There are some differences between that as well, whereas a narcissist is very kind of not taking accountability, but underneath a narcissist there is a very, very, very low self-esteem of that person. But in a sense, as they've grown up a narcissist, they've not realized or known or understood or developed the part of them how to love and how to grow. They only kind of know specifically how to use people and come across and take things from people without expecting to give in return, just kind of take, and then that's it. They're kind of always looking for their refill, along with energy vampires, because it is a vampire. So a vampire, as folklore is, they always want to drain all the blood, and they are never, never, ever satisfied with the amount of energy that they get from the person, the subject, the situation, because they're always craving that next bit of juicy, juicy energy. So, next, they're always involved in some kind of drama. They will find themselves in a middle of, like, let's have a look. Why am I always the one who gets mad at this? I don't deserve this. I just can't take this anymore. I didn't do anything. Like, they're very much like, oh, why is this happening to me? Why is this situation? In a sense, they are cognitive of a situation, but in terms of their selves being in the situation, they are not cognitive, or they become very much victim in the situation, any situation, because they've got the charisma, they've got the lack of empathy, because they are looking for empathy, and they've got the no responsibility for their actions. So they will say, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve what that is, I don't deserve what that is, I can't take this, why can't anyone be as kind about this, why can't you be as this? Like, it's very outward in the situation, and in doing so, they're kind of putting out toxicity as opposed to stabilizing any situation that's got out of control. They always one-up you, so an energy vampire never likes to be outdone. They like to be very much always, always in the spotlight. Once again, this kind of adds to the narcissist area. As I said, they tied in before earlier. They need to always be the center of attention in every situation. And they struggle to have genuine happiness with anybody as well. They always, which is quite sad in a situation, they always feel like they have to, or they can't, there's this pit in them, and they can never really feel happy. Instead, they like to just kind of pull the genuine happiness from other people, and then kind of, they do this camouflage effect. So a narcissist will, very much like an empath, mirror a lot of traits that they're around currently. So say a narcissist or energy vampire was in a situation with a person that's high energy, they start to camouflage and chameleonize with that energy. So the person that has the energy thinks that they have the energy. If that makes sense, it's just like an energy situation where everything is going in different ways and stuff. They diminish your problems and play up their own. So energy vampires feed off your emotional energy. And if you're upset or you're sad, your energy supplies start to dwindle, because the person that they're sucking the life out of will be like, man, I feel really shit. This feels really rubbish and stuff. So they will need to recharge themselves and get the energy back, obviously. But because this happens, because they drain most of the energy from you, the energy vampires will shift the attention of discussion to themselves, turning your dismay and dismay into their emotional buffet. For example, you're super swamped at work and I get it, but I really, really need to talk to you tonight about this issue with Mark. Or I know your job doesn't pay well, but at least your job is fun. You have to help me find a new one. So, like, very much it feels like they'd have to, well, you kind of owe me this because this is how I feel. I know you're feeling terrible, but this is how I feel in the situation. They act like a martyr. Energy vampire places their problems squarely on the shoulders of other people. As I said earlier, they don't take full responsibility of what they do. So when you're seeking for emotional support or boost of self-esteem, they will never, ever, 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 ever give that to you because they don't give energy back. They only take it away. Gone. So they also act like the martyr. So what you're seeking for, or when you're seeking for emotional support, they will say, for example, he's always so unreasonable. I do my best I can, but I just never give in. This day just started off bad. It only gets worse. So like, oh, this, why is this happening to me? Why am I the reason? I cannot be the reason. And stuff like that. Next, I know this is a long list, but it's interesting and I kind of want a discussion with these videos and these podcasts, like I've said in the past. I want to know what, like, you guys think, and if you've ever encountered an energy vampire or someone around you that's just like, yeah, this person really doesn't feel good. Or this person, I feel like, why do I always feel exhausted and tired every time I talk to them? Even if you're just hanging out and stuff and you're not doing things that would, well, I don't think anyone's doing things right now in the current situation of the world, but I mean, just maybe chatting with them. If you're just having a chat, you feel exhausted after. That may be an energy vampire or not enough sleep or caffeine. One of the two. You could go for the energy vampire though. Right, next on the list is they use your good nature against you. People who are sensitive and compassionate are prime targets for energy vampires. And this is why an energy vampire and an empath go hand in hand, because the empath will always have the emotional energy and the energy vampire will always take the energy. But then because empaths always like giving out and always continually, empaths are very much save the world kind of people. They're very much like, we need to do something. Every day they wake up, they're like, this could be good, or this could be good, or this could be good, or we could always make the world better. It's on fire, but it could always be better. So what do we do? So, they know you'll feel guilty turning them down for coffee or a dinner date, so they ask regularly. They monopolize your time on every social occasion so they can have as much of your energy as possible. Next, energy vampires use guilt trips or ultimatums. So, energy vampires often rely on guilt trips to get what they want. They know shame is a great weapon against people who are compassionate and caring. So empaths, one of the empaths' biggest weaknesses is guilt, because it's one of the emotions that they feel the strongest. Because an empath, a lot of the time, empaths as well, they tend to have gone through an experience in life that has made them that way. I mean, a lot of empaths are good-natured originally, or they come across, they're very sensitive. So things on the news will make them cry. I mean, I'm trying to think of it. Like, I don't know. I need to do a whole list of what empaths kind of come across as and stuff like that. They are not Shane Dawson, for instance. That's not an empath. People can say, I'm an empath. But a lot of them are just saying it to be like, it's like the equivalent of someone being like, I'm a really good guy. Don't you know? I'm a really good guy. Just so you know, tell your friends I'm the good guy. Kind of like that in a situation. I think empath has become the kind of new, I'm sensitive. And when they're not, they're just the opposite. They're probably an energy vampire. They're just looking for more prey. Anyway, again, I'll get back to the list. Use guilt trips or ultimatums. If you really care for me, you'll call him and tell him how much I love him. I don't know what you expect me to make. I don't know how you expect me to make it. I'll fall apart, or I'll do this, or this will happen, or if you do this one more time, this will be the result. Ultimatums. They're codependent. So, codependent, a lot of empaths are codependent, as well as energy vampires. So, both of them rely on a lot of other people. So there's so many different types of relationships which people can get involved in, where this is a vicious cycle that continues to happen again and again and again and again, because it's kind of like a parasitic relationship, I see it as. A lot of people might disagree, and that's okay and stuff. That's why I want anyone's opinions, and if anyone in the comments or anyone that is listening to this podcast has a view, I want to know and stuff. I'm on Twitter, I'm on YouTube, you can find me and like comment, and I'd like to have a discussion. If I just ignore him for a few days, they totally beg for forgiveness and come crawling back. So they kind of have this idea, is a type of relationship where every action is designed. So energy vampires design every action to get a reaction from the individual. So they understand if you leave an empath, for instance, energy vampire empath, then if you leave him for a few days, their biggest trigger is guilt. They're going to feel guilty about that situation after an argument or disagreement or something that's gone wrong. The days that you leave them, the guilt will basically eat them alive, along with the demons. Empaths, a lot of them have demons. A lot of them are very broken people that are just trying to make the world better so they can't focus on themselves and their own therapy and self-well-being. Whew, that was a lot. I know this isn't a good relationship, but it's so much better than trying to go over him and learn to date again. That's another thing they can say. They criticize or bully. At their core, energy vampires are often insecure, very much like narcissists, actually. They may use dehumanizing tactics and criticisms to keep their prey insecure too. So for instance, it says they will call people stupid, or I was too stupid to expect better from you. Everyone else treats me like this way. Why don't you treat me like this way? You were in over your head from the beginning. So they're going to use a lot of words as well. They're going to call you dumb, stupid, an idiot. Words that are just going to stick with you and make the person that you are, if you're in a situation with them, feel that way. They intimidate as well. I won't tell you this again and again. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve that. So they're very much like, if they're not getting the energy source that they want, or if the empath is breaking away, or if there's a situation where it's not going exactly how they imagine, then they will respond and saying, I told you once, I told you that. They start with the criticizing, the bullying. They will intimidate as well and make the person feel terribly bad, and the person feel as though that they can't escape the situation and they are doing everything wrong in that situation. They demand a lot of people and from people that they do target. And this does continue to drain resources from people, because a lot of people in those situations on the other end of an energy vampire will get depression, they get anxiety, they get self-body issues. Because if someone is currently bullying, criticizing and putting you in this cycle of continuously draining you, letting you recharge for a few days, then coming back and draining you again, and then getting in that situation again and again and again, then you're going to continuously feel anxious, depressed. You're going to continuously be in a low mood, because you're going to have everything inside of you basically taken away and become a ghost in the shell at the end, which is a real pity. So, how do you fight against energy vampires? I can't believe this podcast is super long. You establish boundaries. You make them know. If you don't want to go somewhere, you say no, don't want to go there. You limit interactions between them if you want, and you basically focus on kind of cutting them out your life where you want to. Adjust your expectations. You can't fix an energy vampire, but you can reshape your expectations about them. Do not expect any goodness to come from them sometimes, or do not expect anything to really... emotional feedback. Do not expect any emotional feedback from an energy vampire. And then don't give them an inch, because if you say, I don't know, if an energy vampire wants to call or text, don't give them the room. Just say you're busy, you're tired, and you could say that you've got plans or you don't feel well. It will kind of put the guard up. And also the next one it says is guard your emotions, and then cut them out entirely. It depends what you want to do. People can take this many different ways. I don't know, what would you do if you had an energy vampire in your life? Would you keep them in your life? Would you limit the contact? Would you change things? Would you try to change them? Would you just stay as it is? What would you do in the situation? This is what I ask all of my listeners right now, and everyone that's tuned in for this live podcast I suddenly made very professional. What would you do if you had an energy vampire in your life, and how would you work alongside the energy vampire? Yeah, And that's the end of the episode today. I did a lot of talking. If this goes very well in the future, I might have other people in this corner that will come up and we'll have discussions back and forth. But until then, I hope you enjoyed this video episode. If you want to listen to it again or you don't want to just watch this video, it is on Spotify. All the links are down below. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic week and I'll see you next week with a brand new episode of Voices from the Attic. Bye-bye.